Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
We are the younger generation. We are the ones who are going to be affected and therefore we demand justice.
What do we want?
Climate justice!
When do we want it?
Podstrike. Podcast supporting the global climate strike.
Everyone should mobilise for the 20th of September because this is a global issue which actually affects everyone. We are all in the same boat, so everyone should be concerned about this.
I'm striking because if we don't fight for our future now, soon we won't have a future left to fight for.
I support climate strikes to push climate leaders to act for a brighter future for everyone.
I'm joining the strikes because I believe it's time to resist and to take charge of the future that belongs to us, not to the fossil fuel companies.
I'm joining the climate strikes to seek equality for the next generation.
We need you to be a part of it because we need every age involved. Young people have been leading here, but now it's the job of the rest of us to back them up.
This shouldn't be the children's responsibility, because now the adults also need to help us. So we are calling for them to strike from their work, because we need everyone. There is nothing we can't do, and I mean, if not you should do it, then who else? And if not we should do it now, then when should we do it?
Here at Griefcast, we are supporting Podstrike because we believe that global climate change is one of the biggest issues currently affecting the world. And until we face that and deal with that, it really doesn't matter what else happens. To support the young people behind the global climate strike on the 20th September, you can find out lots more information at globalclimatestrike.net. And there's lots of other websites you can go to find out how to live your life a little bit more peacefully on this world and do your best to help save this planet. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Griefcast with me, Carrie Ad Lloyd. How do we grieve for someone? How does it change and evolve as we get older? My dad died when I was 15, and it took me many, many years to be able to express what I had gone through. So I decided to create Griefcast, a chance to talk, share, and laugh about the weirdness of grief and death. But with comedians, so it's not that depressing, I promise. Each time I talk to a different comedian about their own personal experience of grief as we remember someone that they have lost along the way. Whether it was a long time ago or you've just joined the club, this is a chance to talk about the peculiar human process of death. Welcome to Griefcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey Hey Greeters, hope you're having an okay week. Thank you so much for joining me again, it is always appreciated. If you have been enjoying the show, please do rate and review or subscribe. It really helps other people find the show. And if you want to join us on social media, we are on at The Griefcast on Twitter and Instagram. I'm always posting lots of sort of helpful pictures and things I found on Instagram. And the Twitter is just a bizarrely, for Twitter, wonderful place where lots of people just ask for advice about anniversaries or things they're going through, and I just retweet them, and it's incredibly supportive, which a lot of the internet isn't, so it's quite a nice place to be if you would like to join us. This week I am talking to three brilliant comedians. This is the live episode that was recorded as part of the Udderbelly Festival on the South Bank back in July. I am joined by the brilliant Jeff Lloyd. If you're into your podcast, there's actually three very podcasty guests this week. Jeff hosts the brilliant Reasons to be Cheerful podcast with Ed Miliband, and also the excellent Adrift podcast with Annabelle Port, and is just generally a very, very funny man. I was also joined by the incredible stand-up Josie Long, who, if you haven't heard her programme Shortcuts on, it's a Radio 4 programme, I think, but I think it's available to podcast as well, and it's just slices of interesting things from all over the world. It's a really interesting podcast. And I was joined by the very, very brilliant comedian sketch performer Camille Yucan, who is part of the sketch group Birthday Girls, who had their own podcast, Birthday Girls House Party, which was part of BBC Sounds, which I think you can still listen to, which is, again, very, very funny. They are three brilliantly lovely, funny people, and they very kindly agreed to come and talk to me about all things death. And we had a very cheery chat about death and funerals and what songs we want and whether we should chuck our bodies out by the bins. I hope you enjoy. Hello, it's me, Karen. Hi, thank you so much for coming. Hi, it's like a kid's show. Hey, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it so much. It's so lovely. Welcome to Griefcast Live. Thank you so much for coming. If you don't listen to the show, this is going to be a bit of a trial by fire. Is anyone here never heard the show? Oh, you're welcome. Don't be afraid. Has your friend brought you here? Great, brilliant. Don't be afraid. I know the whole day you've been going, oh, my friend's taking me to the thing about death. It's so fucking weird. Like, why did anyone want to go and see that? I appreciate that. Don't worry. It's cheery, but about death. But this show is where we get three comedians on and we have just a chat about death and grief in general. And it's even more cheery than the normal one. And when I have to book people, I genuinely say, like, oh, so do you want to come on the show? We're just going to have a chat about death and plan, sort of like talk about how you feel about your own death. But it's much lighter than normal. And they're like, what's the real one like? So I'm going to be joined by three amazing guests. I'm going to stop chatting and bring them on. Please put your hands together for the amazing Birthday Girls podcast and the group, Camille Yucan, the amazing stand-up and podcast Shortcuts, Josie Long, and the incredible Reasons to be Cheerful and Drift podcast. It's Jeff Lloyd, everybody. Yeah, keep clapping. It's awkward. Oh, hi, guys. It was a bit like a catwalk there, coming down. Were you right? I was worried you were going to fall off, Jeff. Can I be honest?
I was worried that the applause wouldn't last as long as the walk either, which is always awkward.
I told them, I said, keep it going. Yeah, don't worry. I said, keep it going.
It was polite, but nice.
Yeah, that's the Griefcast. Griefcast listeners, they're very like, oh, maybe you're a bit sad. Just keep it going. So thanks, guys, for coming to talk about death. Much appreciated. I'm going to start, Jeff, go in there. How do you feel about death? Are you somebody that's like totally fine with it, or are you someone that's not okay?
So I'm terribly afraid of the pain of death.
Oh yeah.
Like, I have a very low pain threshold, and I imagine death isn't pleasant. But you know, sort of, I'm very scared of injections. So if I stand on a drawing pin, you would think that I've been stabbed stomach. You know, that sort of level of.
So death is a worry.
So death is a worry. I'd like to go sort of nicely in my sleep.
Yeah.
I think it's quite often the case that I go to bed of an evening and think, well, you know, if tonight's the night, then that's fine with me, really.
That's nice, though, at least, because some people go to bed thinking,
Well, tonight's the night I've fucked up. So that's good. Right, if you're feeling content, I think that's very good.
Well, I don't know if it's content. It's more like I'd welcome the sweet release of death sometimes.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay. Josie, is it preying on your mind at all or not really?
I went through a phase. I go through real phases. So I definitely went through a phase where I was like, listen, I've had a great time while I was here. And if I go, I go. And then I went through a phase where I was like, not yet. And I was desperate and I became deathly afraid of flying.
Oh, wow.
Because I felt like you were so safe and you were just living your life and then you deliberately put it in danger by doing this improbable thing of getting in a plane, which is obviously not going to work. And then for the duration of the flight, I'd be like...
Oh, I forgot you're really afraid of flying, aren't you? Genuinely, yeah.
No, go on. I'm with you.
I got over it.
By yourself?
Yes.
I've paid a lot of money for hypnotherapy.
Does it help?
And it's still not worked.
Yeah, you just went on a flight and were you still afraid of death
on
the flight?
I really have that feeling of like, why would I put myself in a situation where... I'm saying you can kill me.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Uber on the way to the airport?
Yeah, absolutely fine.
Because I'm far more scared of other people's driving than I am of people who fly planes.
I could get scared in that situation. I get scared in any situation of dying. I'm the opposite of you. I'll think about it before bed, but instead of being like it's a sweet release, I'll be scared to go to sleep because I'll think I might not wake up.
Oh, wow.
And sorry.
I'm on the Camille side of things. Like, that's my level of anxiety.
I'd love to not be like that, though.
I'd love to. We'd all fucking love to. And then when I meet people who say, like, I don't think about it, I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why aren't you thinking about it? Like, I'm so literally, as I cross the road, I think, this could be it.
Yeah. But I did manage...
All the time.
I did manage to get on the flight.
Yeah.
Carrie-Anne's right. I did recently have to get on a very long flight for a job.
She did post on Instagram, like, sat on the toilet crying. Like, saying I made it, sort of.
Just telling my Instagram followers. But I did get on the flight. I had to fly to Kenya.
Oh, my goodness, that's
long.
And
I did it. Yeah. And then I got there, and I've got some grandparents who live abroad, so sometimes we email each other. And I emailed my grandma and said, I'm in Kenya working at the moment. And she replied... And she went, oh, that's really interesting that you're in Kenya. Your great auntie Camille, who you're named after, married a South African, and his parents had a tea plantation in Kenya. And she went there on holiday, and that's where she died in a tragic car accident. And she's buried there now in a cemetery. And I read that, and it was like... And I was working the next morning. I was going to bed. I was like, it's my destiny. I made it here on the plane, but now that's it. She's called Camille. I'm called Camille. I'm in Kenya.
Oh, my God, that would shit me up so badly.
It did.
I had an experience that was too much like Final Destination.
Oh,
and that's what tipped me into being afraid.
Yeah.
I was in a car crash that everyone was miraculously completely unharmed, but it should, you know, afterwards... The ambulance and the police and the other drivers were like, you should be dead. And we were like, that's not funny. But it was literally like the car ran head on to another car. It went in front of a lorry. The lorry drove over us. We smashed through a greenhouse. Logs came onto our thing. We went off the road into a tree. Then the logs came through and stopped there.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Afterwards, I was like, I thought I was dead.
That's insane. How did you survive? That sounds insane.
I don't know. Or everything. Everyone's completely fine. But for a while afterwards, I was like, we've seen Final Destination. We know death has been alerted to this error. So scary.
Yeah, that's
but
terrifying.
But you didn't die.
No.
Yeah, you suffer, but with the whole
and
time you in Kenya.
I didn't die in a car accident in Kenya either.
Oh, I'd be terrified of that.
Yeah,
when you're in situations like that, do you feel any urge to... I was once in a car that span around on the motorway in Sweden, and I didn't have any instinct to try and get out of the car or undo my seatbelt or try and seize control of the steering wheel. I just sat there and thought, oh, well, this is probably it now. And there was a song on the radio.
Jeff,
I was
thinking, so calm.
Well, this
You're
is probably the
accepting.
Song I'm going to die to. Like, I don't think I have any survival instinct. I think on a plane when there's turbulence, I've been sat with people who said, OK, well, I want to sit near the aisle because I'd be this close to the exit and I've planned this.
Yeah,
Whereas I think I would just sit there and think, well, there we go. This is it.
On the plus side, you'd get a lot of unopened bottles of water and little bags of nuts because everyone else would be panicking. You're going to eat that? Just last.
Those pretzels, do you want them? No one needs them now. I find that really interesting that you're so calm about it because I am definitely like, I'm always, like, my in my head, it's permanently a crisis. So, like, if a crisis happens, I'm fucking amazing.
Yes.
Because I'm already there. So, like, if somebody gets hit by the car, I was like, I thought you were going to be. So I'm ready. I've called the ambulance, been extremely calm while everyone's, because I was like, that's what I thought was going to happen. And they say people with anxiety are better in crisis because we're so alert. Yeah. So we're so ready for it.
But it's a survival.
It's survival. But yeah. You have to remember the tiger's not here. That's what they tell us. People with anxiety, the tiger is not here. Because you're acting like a tiger is right next to you in your like primal state.
What do you have to do if there is a tiger there?
I mean, I'd be ready for it, mate. Because I'm acting all the time like there is a tiger. So I'd be fine.
If you were Siegfried or Roy, you would have been fine.
Jason, like, how have you thought about how you want to go then? Obviously not in the car crash. That was awful.
No, I don't really like thinking about how I would go because I sort of would rather just go... Hopefully it's not going to happen till I'm an old lady in my bed.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I'm not somebody who... Yeah, I don't sort of go, oh, drowning seems nice. I'm like, no, none of it seems... And going in your sleep to me doesn't seem nice because it's like, you don't get to say goodbye. I think what I'd like would be a nice period where I say goodbye to everyone and they come and we have a very nice moment and they leave me, like, grapes or whatever. And then... The next one comes.
You can have
a lot
of grapes.
Well-wishing.
Oh, you want well-wishes?
I'd like a period of well-wishing and then a gentle period of diminishment.
Oh, nice.
At the end of my life. And do you know what I'd also like?
Yeah.
I'd like, just as I'm drifting off, to overhear someone say, oh, she's a lot of fun considering she's 97. I'd like something like that. You know, like I'd just like it to feel positive and gentle.
Yeah, that's nice.
I feel like most people, that's not really an option. It's not like
it's not, unfortunately, it's not choice. You don't get to fill out a form and be like, I'd like the diminishing slowly while still being well. Unfortunately, you don't get to do that, sadly. But that sounds great. How long a period of diminishment are you after? I think it's important to, A, you want to know.
I don't know, because you don't want it to be too far.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you don't want people to be like, oh, you better hurry. It'll be a matter of days. And then I'm there for like 6 months. They're like, come on. You
know. Yeah.
Then the well-wishing would sour.
I think 10 days, that's like the perfect time for a holiday.
Yeah. 10 days or 3-night city break.
Oh my God, yes, a 3-night city break of diminishment would be quite nice, wouldn't it? Mm. What about Jeff, how are you feeling about a 3-night city break of diminishment?
This is too long for me.
Oh, really?
It's too long a social interaction. No interaction needs to be longer than an hour and a half, really.
So you want an hour and a half of well-wishing and then bang out?
Yeah.
That's so fast.
But I think it would be fine. I mean, what have I got to say, really?
Apart from someone that wants to travel.
Yeah, that's true. What if they've got to get on the plane?
It gives them more time to do sightseeing while they're here.
Oh, we tried as hard as we could.
Yes.
But this is what he would have wanted.
Yeah. Is it everyone all at once or is it an appointment system?
It's up to you. Depends.
It sounds exhausting.
Well, yeah, how would you want to go then? This was Josie saying she wanted her well wishes. You don't have to. You could just go with no well wishing.
A little well wishing.
A light well wishing.
A moderate well wishing. I think just my wife and son would be fine. That's for fine. Me. Yeah.
Oh, keeping it small.
I could FaceTime some other people.
Just a family.
And then I could wrap it. Oh, sorry, the connection. You know, pretend to freeze. Or something, just to get it over and done with.
Don't get on the plane. Don't bother. It's fine. I'll Skype you.
Because I have anxiety about my last words.
This is a big thing. The last words. Yeah, yeah.
Because what if you say them thinking your last words?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you don't die.
Yeah.
And then you think, have we got to say something more poignant? Or do you have to point out the fact that... Yeah. So I wanted those to be my last words. So if you could just remember those. Yeah. Anything after that is like a postscript.
What you do is, say you got a sentence. Say you say something like, the most important thing in my life was love, right? What you do is you say, remember, everyone, the most important thing in my life was love. Could I have a coffee? The most important thing in my life was love. Just tack it onto the... Yes. I need the toilet. The most important thing in my life. Because then technically...
It's still your last words. The thing with last words, we've talked about on the show before, is that, because I've researched them, like, they are such bullshit. Like, when you read them, you're like, there's no way that person got that much information out. Like, there's no way. It's ridiculous. And it's obviously the person who was with them was like, don't worry, I'm just going to say you said the last thing I want is love. But really, you just went, like...
I had a thing about 15 years ago where they thought I might die.
Okay.
It turned out to be nothing, but it was so ambiguous they thought I might die, and I was in hospital and they thought I might have had a brain hemorrhage and had a lumbar puncture and all this stuff. And my mum and dad came down to my visit, and my dad is a very, very gruff working class northern man who even saying happy birthday is too big an outpouring of emotion for him. Wow. And that is the only time in my life he's told me that he loved me.
Wow.
And I don't cherish that. I just feel sorry for him that he was made to feel so uncomfortable that he had to get those words out because, oh, God, he's going to die. I don't know, I've never said it.
That's so, but isn't that nice that he said that? Don't you feel chuffed? That
I just feel awkward for him that he had to do it. He wouldn't have enjoyed saying I love you.
It's nice, though, that I think, but it's nice to know that when push comes to shove, he will be awkward for you.
Yes.
That's reassuring, isn't it? Camille, what do you want your last words to be? Why did I get on the plane? I shouldn't have. Sorry. I forgot how actually scared you are. I'm actually so sorry. Thoughts?
My last words.
I mean, it's difficult, isn't it?
It is hard, actually. I've not thought about last words. Yeah. I think I've always, like Josie, like to think that I'm just going to go nicely in my sleep. Oh, no, you're doing the whole everyone well-wishing.
you've got well-wishing.
You've got well-wishing. I like to think that I'll be 120.
You want to go 120?
If I can take a pill and live forever, I will.
Would you?
And I'd make everyone else take it with me.
Why?
I know, everyone thinks that's mad.
But don't you think you get to the point where you just be a bit bored of it all?
No. So many countries to go to. And you won't have to get planes by then. We'll be able to go there in some safer way.
Oh, you think? That's the key.
Yeah.
You'll be able to travel. Oh, Camille, that's so sweet that one day you think, I'll be able to go and not be scared.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hope that happens for you.
Time travel. Last words, though.
No, I want to go back to 120. What are you going to be doing for the last, like, from 100 to 120? Because my grandma got to 100 and it was pretty quiet for the last 15.
Really? Yeah.
It was really, like... And so she died when she was 100 and everyone goes, oh, congratulations, good genes. I'm like, well, actually, mostly not. But quite a lot of the dying side. But it was really, she was in a home, she didn't know what was going on.
Oh, yeah, well, no, when I imagine this, it's a bit of a fantasy.
Yeah, but you're
like
with
George Burns. It's,
yeah, you know, okay, I'm imagining I'm 120, but I'm basically like I am now.
So literally no
I'm
aging.
I'm going about my day. I've got a load of dogs. I don't have dogs now. That's another fantasy. Loads of dogs. We're all having a nice walk. Oh, that'd be a nice way to go.
On a dog walk?
Yeah.
That'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
On a dog walk.
The dogs
and I just go, come back. And then I'm gone. The dogs are running off.
This is dark, isn't it? I'd worry that they'd have to stay by you for ages.
Like Greyfriars like Bobby.
Like Greyfriars Bobby. I loved that. I read that when I was really little and I loved that.
There's a Japanese same story as well. The owner went to the same like subway station every day. And he waited at the station like every day for the master. And then eventually just became the station dog. But this was like in the 80s, I think. When was Greyfriars Bobby? I feel like it's a bit of a Victorian lie. Is that wrong? Did it really happen?
Greyfriars Bobby, he's got a statue, hasn't he?
Yeah,
in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
But was it the pub? Do you know what, wasn't he waiting outside the pub for the person? I just feel like it's...
Didn't he wait on the grave?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
But aren't there a lot... Doesn't it confuse it? There's a lot of old country and western songs about dogs sitting on graves as well, I think.
It could... Well,
because people always say that's the difference between a dog and a cat.
A cat would...
cat doesn't care.
That, cat would piss on your grave. The cat would be eating you within an hour. Whereas the dog is loyal and it would sit there.
Would the dogs eventually eat you? Has that happened?
No, I think it would. It would just.
Just wait.
Yeah, yeah. It'd die of old age.
Oh,
or starvation,
the dogs are
maybe.
So good.
Yeah.
So the dogs. What you're imagining, like a field, and you're like, oh, this way. Come
a
back.
Field. We're walking along.
Yeah.
I dropped down 120. I'm happy to go by then.
Relieved, I think. By 120, people are like, my God, she's still here. She's still going.
The dogs gather around like some kind of ceremonial ritual.
What do you want the dogs
There's
to
do? There's a festival then on that day every year. Some kind of death and dog festival.
Who? I would go to a death and dog festival. That sounds
day
brilliant.
Of the dog. Day of the dead dogs. Day of the dead dogs.
Mexico, pick it up now.
Day of the dead dog. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. I'm not the only one. Don't pretend. You'd all go to Day of the Dead Dog. You'd come here. I think that sounds nice, Camille.
Okay,
that sounds
good.
I'll
stick with that then.
Yeah,
we used to do a thing on the radio show called the Dead Dogs Memorial Wall.
Oh, God.
Where we would play a panpipe version of Eric Clapton's Tears in Heaven and then read out the names of people's dead dogs.
And people accuse me of being bleak. How did that go down on the radio?
It went down fine. We ended up... Yeah.
People do love remembering dogs.
We did a charity single of it. It got to number 190 something.
That's not bad.
The iTunes chart, yeah.
What was the charity though? Where did
it was Batsy Dog's Home.
Why? That makes sense. Speaking of those sorts of things, so Jeff, after you've gone, you've just had an hour Skype chat with people and you've died. What are your funeral plans? Have you thought about...
Well, I'm very mixed on this because on one hand, like, I think that they could literally like throw my body in a skip around the back of a Chinese restaurant and I wouldn't care.
Really?
And then on the other hand, like, I really like the idea. What I don't like is any kind of celebration of my life.
Okay.
I'd want it to be a very somber affair.
Okay, so very sad.
Yeah, either sort of classical music that I would need to research that was probably Russian in origin.
Okay.
Or I have like Joy Division's atmosphere in my head a lot.
Yeah,
they made a video to that in the 80s, which was all black and white. Anton Corbijn directed it, and it was lots of druids carrying a picture of Ian Curtis. And I've thought about a sort of funeral themed around that. Perhaps.
Does that mean you're making your relatives who were not allowed to visit you dress up as druids while carrying a picture of you?
Yeah.
That seems like, if you get that email, you're going to be pissed off. Like, he didn't want me to come to the hospital, he didn't want me to say I love them, but I have to now find a druid outfit.
That's like getting invited to the evening do.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. When you find out other people, you're like, see you there at 7, they're like, oh, we're going at 2.
Do you think it's compulsory to go to the wake at a funeral?
You might be looked down on if you missed it.
Because I was at a funeral a couple of weeks ago and you know, it's somebody I cared for, but I really didn't want to go to the wake because I didn't want to mix with other people. What am I going to say to those people? I don't know them. It was something like the social circles didn't
cross.
Oh,
yeah, that's difficult, isn't it? It's like
at
a wedding when it doesn't cross.
Yeah.
It's like you're an individual friend.
Yeah.
So your friends are on a one-on-one basis, but then they have, like, the group friends, and you're like, I'm not the group. I can't. And then they've heard of you. Is that what you're worried about? Like, they'd be like, oh, he talked about you. But you'd be like, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I was worried that they wouldn't have even talked about me. And
Jeff, you're so worried.
Why is
so
this man at this funeral? It was weird as well because it was a beautiful funeral. It was in the University of Sussex.
Oh.
And it was in
that's where I went to university. Well, in that modern church.
Yeah, do you know the meeting house? It's round.
Yes.
And this
beautiful
friend of mine, Brian, he was a lighting director, and he'd done the lights for so many sort of stars over the years.
Oh.
He was like very well respected in the music industry. And it was such a perfect choice of venue for him because the way the light comes in through those windows, and it's sort of quite modern.
It's like 1960s, and it's got like sort of rainbow glass.
It seems like it could be a set from The Graduate.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
What was it? And anyway, so the funeral was there, and that was at midday, and then the wake was at 4:30. So what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, that's a bit like a wedding situation.
So I went and sat in a refectory in the university, and I thought,
I've been there.
Do I look creepy?
Yeah, you would have. No, actually, Sussex, you wouldn't have done.
Okay.
There's a lot of creepy men there. You would have blended in.
I'd be just one of them.
You'd just be one of them.
I've never heard of the wake being that much later than the funeral.
Yeah,
that's unusual, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Were they waiting for someone, do you think? Someone coming from afar?
I think maybe the family were going off for some kind of private...
They might be in the crematorium? That's
burial. Yeah.
What did you just say?
Or the burial.
Burial.
Sorry. You won't have... If you're here listening to that, you won't have heard, but Camille sort of... I don't know what...
I did a dip.
Sort of
down...
Like a bunny hop.
Like a bunny hop dip into the... burial, cremation.
What do you call it? What's the fancy word for burial?
Oh, God.
Interment.
Yeah, so maybe they had the service and they went for the cremation.
They had this beautiful thing where it was a wicker coffin.
Oh, yes, I've seen that. Beautiful, really lovely.
And they encouraged people to come and touch the coffin and just think about their memories of
that's
Brian.
Nice.
And I didn't do it, and I sort of... Because it felt like... I don't know, I felt too self-conscious to... Because people were kind of getting up two at a time and going, then a few more would get up.
You didn't have a friend to go and touch the coffin.
No, and I really regret not touching the coffin now.
That's hard, because it's like when... Because one of those things that happens at a funeral, and everyone's like, just do this. But... Because sometimes people are sad, and they're very emotional about their feeling. They don't... I think sometimes you don't think... If you're not... You know, you're not family. You might be thinking, oh, should I touch your coffin?
It felt like the grief belonged to other people more than it belonged
to me. Yeah, that's
what
I mean. Yeah, when you're, like, slightly moved, you're like, should I?
Yeah,
I can see that. Well, that's a shame, but I think it's like, but you went to the funeral. That's the main thing, isn't it? Rather than, you were there. That's present. Josie, have you thought about cremation or as we call it, the dip, the burial? as Camille likes to
know. I used to really, really just not... desperately not want to be cremated.
Oh, really?
I just didn't like the fact when I was younger that if you went to the cemetery, the cremation things, it just felt too
small,
impermanent.
Yeah.
I thought, right, if I'm being buried, then I'm just sort of sat there for eternity.
Yeah.
But I think, now I was thinking about this, like, what would I want my funeral to be like? And I thought it might be really funny. And I don't mean politically, but if it was all the things I really didn't like, and basically I gave a speech that was, like, completely misrepresenting me, and all the music was, like, shit I hate, and people would stand up and say, oh, you know, like, the one thing she loved was the rugby. Oh, she'd always be at the rugby, drinking a beer. Now we're going to play the Divinals, I Touch Myself. I hate that song so much. Like, and I want everyone to buy into it, be like, she would have loved this, but it literally be my least favourite thing, so that, like, a few of my friends would be like, she wouldn't like it. Like, this is bullshit. Like, because I think, you know, people, you know, try and make a playlist of songs for their funeral, but it is the truth that you won't be there. And
yeah, yeah.
Although, I had a friend who died about 6 years ago, and I went with another of his friends to the funeral, and it was really beautiful, but it was really sad because he was a young man, and it sort of was so bittersweet. And there was a lot of crying, and then at the end of it, they played Get Lucky. We were like, what is this? And then they put a little note on the order of service, and he'd been, when he did pass away, he was in, when he died, he was in France doing a ski season. He'd, like, saved up to go and, like, hide in this hut and do loads of snowboarding, and they went through his iTunes library after he died, and they found out that he'd listened to Get Lucky something like 5,000 times. And basically, it had only been out about 6 months, so it was literally that he'd get up in the morning, I assume,
and just
put his headphones in, and just like, I'm up all night. And it was such a beautiful, hilarious thing. Oh. It was like, wow, I did not know that you only listened to Get Lucky.
I think that's so nice that they sort of took the honest route, because it's the kind of thing you could, like, look on your friend's iTunes and be like, oh, obviously we won't tell anyone, we'll be playing, like, you know, Bach, as they would think people, but to be like, yeah, let's be honest, we really like Get Lucky. Like, let's enjoy it.
It's a great song.
It's a really great song.
Yeah.
So, yeah, have you thought about music, Jo's, for your...
I would love it to be songs that I really hated. And make
so, okay, I Touch
really...
Myself is up there. That is an inappropriate song for a funeral.
Oh, imagine!
So inappropriate.
And then also, this is what you do. You'd get, like... I'd quite like it to be, like, a Quakery thing or, like, a humanistic thing. And you get the celebrant. Celebrant is the wrong word. Opposite of celebrant. And, like, and they say, and now let's all just take a minute to think about Josie and what she was like, and it'd be like, I don't want anybody else. I honestly do. I'd love it.
It would be. Are you hoping one of your friends is like enraged and stands up and is like, this is wrong? This isn't what she would have wanted.
Yes, and then I'd have a few friends who were like plants in on it, and they'd be like, you never knew her. This is all she loved at the rugby. That's all she ever talked about.
Oh my God.
That would
make the wake so controversial. You have like a corner of people being like, her friend, these awful people have ruined her reputation, and emailing Chortle and me. Josie Long's funeral disaster, and then like a really key group in the corner being like, we did what she wanted. This is exactly what she would have wanted. I mean it's a show. It's definitely a show. People be talking about it afterwards.
And I'd like the coffin, this is no, what yeah, I'd hate, I'd hate coffin. This. I'd like the coffin to be branded with loads of brands. That's like my worst. Oh, I'd hate it, so gross. The coffin lid has said Costa on it. And then alongside it say like Wagamama's or whatever. All the stuff I don't
can an,
like.
Can an Amazon man deliver it? He's like, yeah, just it's for Josie.
Yeah, and he'd say what Josie loved was the fact that the workers at Amazon are treated so badly.
She loved it, mate. She loved it, yeah. And we've got the coffin in a lot more packaging than it needs.
Yeah, yeah.
So then they have to like get out a lot of paper to find it.
We bulked it out with plastic straws.
Oh, God, plastic straws. Just filled with plastic straws. That would be really funny. But I would worry for some of your friends. What about the friends who thought they'd be in the key circle that knew and they weren't? That would be my worry. But you're dead, so.
I think we're overestimating how well I'm liked. oh, gosh. Yeah.
You have to choose that circle carefully. That's
you have
all.
To pick the right WhatsApp group.
Yeah. The right WhatsApp. Maybe start warning them now. Like, if you get a message after I've died to brand my coffin, it's real.
Oh, so you're thinking, don't do it in life. Get it all scheduled.
You could get it scheduled, yeah.
So I'll be like, oh, I feel I'm going.
Imagine that. But I think maybe you should prep someone, like one key person, and be like, I was just thinking about Jesus and Mary Magdalene for some reason. You know, when like they're like, he's dead. She's like, no, mate, he's not dead. He told me he's coming back. So you need like somebody that when they're like, I've got this weird email about JC's funeral, and they're like, yes, of course you did. Come this way. And then someone is like, on it. I want these dreams to come true. That's what I'm saying. Okay.
I really appreciate your thoroughness.
Yeah. If people want these funerals, I think they can happen. That's what I think. It's an option available for you, but the death isn't. We can plan the funeral.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to Griefcast with Carrie Adloyd.
Bill, what do you want in your funeral then? Or you can't even think about it?
Yeah, I don't like to think about it, but then...
I'm making you.
Yeah, and recently my nanny died 6 weeks ago and she didn't leave any information what she wanted. And that made me think, because that was... I've been to a fair few funerals, but I haven't been involved before in like the planning of happens when someone dies. And having to go to the funeral directors and sort this out and sort that out. And I did realise then, because it's a real stress. If they haven't left anything about...
I know.
You're like, do they want that song? Do they want that person to come?
Yeah.
Do they want this? Do they want that? And when we went to the funeral directors, he like whacked out this coffin brochure. Yeah. And they get out and they're like flicking through, which coffin do you want?
What handles do you want?
Yeah. And he kept saying... that we have the standard pine one in stock. And then I said, well, she actually really liked dark wood. Like, she had a real thing for dark wood. She never had any pine or anything like that. Mahogany. And he went, oh, see, okay, that's going to take about a week or so. I've got the standard pine in stock. And I went, she really liked dark wood. Can we order the dark wood? And then he went, I don't mean to be rude. How big is she? And I went, she's... Do you know what, that big? He went, yeah, I've got one out the back. She might fit into that.
Oh, my God! Camille, this is not good funeral directorship.
I know.
That's bad.
And what pissed me off as well is that everyone that recommended this funeral director, the reverend, the place where my nanny had lived, everyone was like, oh, isn't he lovely? Isn't he lovely?
Oh, I thought bullshit.
I hated him.
But they might be getting the old...
I think so. Yeah. I think there's some backhanded money going on.
They took the pine, no question.
They took the pine, Perhaps they liked pine. Perhaps they were pine people.
Everyone loved pine. Well, she had the dark wood.
Oh, I'm pleased.
She squeezed into the dark wood. Elbowed her in there.
Nanny, you're getting in, otherwise you've got to wait a week. That's really bad. I genuinely, because I like obviously talk a lot about this, that's very bad funeral directorship sensitivity.
Yeah.
That's not...
It like, all seemed like a bit of a faff, to be honest.
Yeah, it seemed like you're bothering him.
But, and also it's like you don't... we had to take the outfit for her to put on.
Oh, yeah.
And we decided she was going to wear what she wore on my wedding day because she really loved that outfit. And then I was like, do I take her knickers? Do you wear knickers and a vest?
I don't know. Did you take
I did in the end. I thought she wouldn't want to go in without her knickers and vest on. Not for all these years. I just, you know.
Does that mean loads of people go commando to their funeral?
Depends if people remember, I guess.
I'm
with you, though. I think you did the right thing. Your nanny would not have wanted to be the cook.
I don't think so.
So I can tell already. I never met her, and I know she wouldn't have wanted that.
She would not have wanted it, no.
It's a bold statement.
It is, isn't it? It is.
It's bold if you've got an open coffin, isn't it? Oh, no, that bit's normally closed, isn't it? Yeah. That's so tricky. That's what I mean, the practical elements. And one tip, actually, the Emma Freud episode, she was saying, she did a whole article, if you are, what's the word? Stuff in the middle of trying to look for funeral, that she wrote a good article about booking a funeral, and you can have them come to your house.
What do you mean?
The funeral director, you can request, I don't want to come to your shop, I'm bereaved and sad.
Oh.
You have to come to my house, and they will, but they just don't talk about it because it's a bit of a faff.
Yeah,
and then you can be in your own house with your own cup of tea and your own mug, and you can be like, so then when they ask you difficult stuff, you can be a bit more supported rather than basically in an office being like...
That's lovely.
I know, it's a really good tip for future.
Yeah.
You don't have to go and you can switch, like banks. You can go, I don't like this one, I'm going to a different one.
Yeah.
But it is, once you've started the process...
I know. You
like banks, you don't
want to
do it again, do you? It's difficult. Oh, that's tricky. Did you speak at your nan's funeral?
I wrote the eulogy and did it with
my
sister.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How was that?
I think reading it with someone else,
yeah.
And I made sure it was quite funny. I'd only included funny stories. I tried not to make it too sad.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be a really sad thing. I wanted it to be a funeral that was quite fun and happy.
Celebratory.
Yeah, and I think it did feel like that. My sister sang a song, any excuse, big opportunity.
What song did she sing?
She sang The Rose, Bette Midler.
Oh, yeah.
Which she used to sing to my nanny.
Oh.
Brought her mate along who played the guitar. It was like a little concert.
Oh, that's nice. That's lovely.
It was lovely. And that made me think, actually, yeah, I think I'd like mine to be... a bit of a party.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit like, I'd love my mates to be involved. You know, like a shit talent show at school. Or like a new material night, if you're a comedian.
Yeah.
Everyone can do a little thing.
Yeah, a little turn.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely. Have you thought who you want to do the turn?
No, it's a free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all, but you are in a sketch group.
I'm in a sketch group, so it'd be bad form if they didn't.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
but would
they'd
be
obliged.
Can they do a sketch that you used to be in? And
someone
just
puts a wig on it.
No, I think they should just leave it blank. Like there's just a gap where your line was.
And they all just respond like, you can't say that.
Yeah. What, broccoli? And then there's just... And then they move to the next line.
Very good. There's a sketch that involves broccoli. Very good.
There is. I remember the broccoli sketch. I love that sketch. I saw the first time you did that sketch. It was very good. I'd like to see some good, solid comedy performances from people you've known through the years.
Yeah. But then I went to another funeral recently. And I mean, my funeral would never be like this because I don't have this much weight in real life. But this person was like, had so many friends, family. It was like going to a rock concert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was my choir leader. And he was really big in the gospel community. And so there were so many singers. There were hundreds of people there. It was a real... It felt like going to a wedding.
I don't mean to be bad, but I bet that was a good funeral.
It was amazing.
I bet... Was the singing amazing? The
singing was incredible.
Oh, that's good, isn't
it? And he travelled the world and had loads of different choirs. They all came over.
That is what you want songs. From a funeral.
Yeah. There was a dress code. You had to, like, dress up.
Oh, yes.
I bought a dress especially.
Oh, I'm loving this. Yeah. This is so good.
Who organised it?
His family and his church... And
if you have a church, you do get a good funeral.
Do.
It's sad to say in a secular society, we've all got to admit, once you go secular, your funeral will be a little bit depressing.
Yeah.
It just is, because the pomp and ceremony,
That's
that time when churches are often, you know, not great, but my God, they do funerals well. They're like, we've got this. Like, the vicar's got the outfit, they know what to do, they've got the choir ready, just a bunch of people never even knew you, just ready to sing for you.
Yeah.
I talk about this a lot on the show, and I will repeat this endlessly. If you want things sung at your funeral, you need to prep your friends now. You need to get good singing friends.
Now?
You need to walk... Who do you know, Jeff, that's a good singer? Do you know someone? I'm not...
I do, yes.
Right. You need to put in a word. Because what happens at British funerals is there's a hymn that no one knows, and it's like... God bless him, and what you want is... And this is at Welsh funerals. We talked about the show. Just one person at the front going for it, and that will make everyone else feel like, oh, I can hide. And then they'll sing more. So that gospel, like, no one was worried that day about the singing.
I'm loving it.
I was interested in the dress code. What was it?
Oh, you had to like dress up. You couldn't
smart.
Just you had to be really smart, dressy.
Right. A friend of mine died last year, and he was a big football fan. And when they sent out the information about the funeral, they said they wanted people to wear football shirts. And I'm not a football fan. I don't own a football shirt, nor do I support a team. And I thought it would be strange to go out and buy a football shirt of a team I didn't support. Just to wear it once at a funeral, but then I wondered if it would be disrespectful to turn up in a black suit.
What did you do?
I texted somebody else who was going.
And they let you
like
on.
It was a night out, what you wearing?
Well, what did they say? What happened?
They weren't going in a football shirt either, but, you know, so they wore a suit and it was fine. This one I just went to, I went to put on my black suit and I've put on so much weight it doesn't fit anymore. So then I thought, is it appropriate to text the widow on the morning of a funeral saying, is it okay if I come in a navy blue suit?
Did you text her?
No, I made the decision. I just thought I'm just going to unilaterally make this decision.
Yeah.
But it would have, in a way, been quite a respectful thing to do.
No, it wouldn't. Respect is leaving the widow alone on the day. Okay. It's like a wedding. You don't go up to the bride and be like, oh, I can't find the canapes. It's like, it's not her job. Yeah. You go to someone else.
And you don't say to the comedian, what time does the venue open?
Yes.
The comedian doesn't know.
You don't know, exactly. Or like, oh, why was the prize down?
This is more just, I want this to be recorded. Put into the ether.
Yeah. There's people, it's like, it's not her job to tell you about the suit.
Was the only person I was worried about offending by not wearing a black suit.
Husband's funeral. She's not bothered.
Right. Well, I didn't text her.
Yeah, that's good. You did the right thing.
Decision.
Yeah, you made exactly the right decision. Because that's the thing, it's like on the wedding, like that's, by the time it's the wedding, you don't give a shit what's happening. And I think at the funeral, you wouldn't be like, oh, what is Jeff wearing? It's like, stop to the vicar. Sorry, Jeff. Can Jeff come to the front, please, of the 1960s circular Quaker meeting house? Yeah, no, I think you're... And if it's dark navy, that's all right. It's not pink. It's not like...
I found out that I'd created a stir in my family by wearing pumps to a funeral.
A stir? Like what? So they talked about it behind your back?
Yes, exactly. Oh, okay, that thing, yeah. So I'm vegetarian, and so I don't wear leather.
Right, yeah.
And I hadn't been to a funeral for a long time. This auntie of mine died, so I had the black suit, but I didn't have any shoes that looked like grown-up shoes, so I just wore some black pumps.
And are they black? That's fine.
Yeah, I thought it was fine, but apparently not.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So it's made me quite paranoid.
Oh, that's fair enough. I thought you were going to say, like, white trainers. I'd be like, yeah, a bit much for a funeral. Like, your brand new spanky
Heelys.
Yeah.
See you later, losers.
But black pumps, I feel like...
Well, not in my family.
Some people are so... The thing you forget is, like, how traditional some people are. Because I've done the same thing. The worst thing I did at a funeral outfit, actually, it was my mother-in-law's funeral. So I was a bit panicked. And I just put on a black shirt and a black skirt. I thought, this is fine. And it wasn't my go-to funeral dress, which has done me proud, done many a funeral. It's a black crossover, it's jersey, it's soft, it's comfortable, it's long sleeves, perfect, right? That's perfect funeral dress. And I put a belt around it, because I thought, oh, yeah, that makes it look, I don't know, just something, I thought, yeah, that's good. And then we were like, I was handing out the food, and I realised I looked like the waitress. I looked like the hired. I really looked like, there was just something about the shirt and the skirt. It was like a pencil skirt and a bit of a frilly shirt, and it just looked like they'd hired me. And I could tell some people, because even though she was my mother-in-law, obviously, you know, she died fairly old, and there was lots of people coming from who didn't know who I was. So some people thought they'd hired me for the day to give out food, and I had to be like, no, she was my mum. She's my mum. So then I stopped handing out food. I thought, it's the only solution. I just can't do it because I'm going to look like, you know, holding the tray. Yeah, it's too much. It is awkward, isn't it?
You don't want people going, well, that serving girl was very overfamiliar.
But I sort of do, because that's so old-fashioned. I'd be like, wow, what? It's 1890. Tell the serving girl to move the sandwiches away. Jeff, you're big on music.
Mm.
So have you thought about music for your funeral then? Apart from the Joy Division and everything.
No, I haven't actually.
But you're obsessed with the Beatles, yes, right? That's like a fact about Jeff.
Yeah.
So is there a moment where you're like, what Beatles track should I play?
No, because it feels a bit on the nose.
Oh, too much. Too obvious. Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
I genuinely have. I mean, I tend to not think about my death as much as think about regretting what I've done with my life. And I think they're sort of two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like sort of sadness about all the time I've wasted,
right,
and that I'm probably well over halfway through at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, will I waste the second half in the same way? And I think that, on some level, is a fear of death.
But yeah,
I'm not thinking. I've not thought about music at my funeral, other than that I'd like it to be a somber affair.
Only some, but it's funny because I know how interested you are in music, how passionate you are about it. Like, would you feel like Josie? Like, would you be upset if it was like not the, well, Josie would be happy if it was the bad track, but would you be?
If it was in my life,
yeah,
and somebody was saying, oh, we've done something to show how much we care about you,
yeah,
and then they put on it and it was like, I don't know what it would be, like Snow Patrol, and I'd be like, oh, you don't know me at all. I think then I'll be upset, but I do think that, weirdly, for the funeral, I think I would want it to be a little unusual, a little odd, or a little big, or just to puncture it, just because otherwise it just, yeah, like you say, you if you have to try and really, really nail it down, then there's too many other things.
Like, I love karaoke, but that's not really good for a funeral, is it?
I would love that. I would love a karaoke funeral.
I think the thought of there being karaoke but not being able to sing at it would drive me
Jeff, that would be sad.
Yeah, maybe a karaoke funeral.
I think that would be amazing, a karaoke funeral.
Yeah.
A somber, is there any somber song?
Oh, yeah.
One of my big hit on karaoke, and it's very emotional, is Carly Simon, Nobody Does It Better.
Oh,
and my rendition of that, it's like, when I look at people's eyes as I'm singing it, it's like they're in pain, because the emotion is so raw.
Wow. Yeah.
Jeff, so then you record yourself doing that,
yes,
and you play that at the top.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Do you know what I think? You should play at the beginning with you singing it, but the end is just the karaoke version with no singing.
Yeah.
And then everyone would be like, and they would remember you singing it.
Oh.
And that would be, I think that would be amazing. I'd be like, remember that, this is that the bit.
I'll tell you one of the great uses of music at funerals is the Jim Henson Memorial Service.
Oh,
it's on
it.
YouTube. It's really poor quality. It looks like it was done on a sort of VHS camcorder.
Oh, wow.
But there's, you know, all the different people come up and tell stories and sing songs, and then sort of for a finale, there are four Muppeteers, each with a Muppet, who start doing these songs. And then sort of as the song builds to a crescendo, it turns out there's loads of them in the congregation, all with Muppets, and it's really beautiful.
Oh, that's amazing. But that's so good, because it's so of the person.
Mm.
That's why I think karaoke funeral for you would be really good.
Okay, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, because everyone would be like, that's exactly what he would have
wanted. Other thing I think, the only time I ever really think about my funeral is I can get quite choked up thinking about my son, who is now three, as a grown-up, giving the eulogy at my funeral. I can sometimes cry.
She's gone.
Yeah, yeah, thinking about it. Yeah. But it's so narcissistic that I'm walking around thinking about that.
But it's nice too, because it's like, oh, my son, the man.
Yeah. I sometimes worry that my bond with my son is so strong that I need to distance myself a little bit, because I don't want his life to be ruined when I die.
Yeah, well, you want it to be ruined earlier on.
We were so close, and then one day he just, like, stopped talking to me.
And then in the eulogy, he'll be like, I don't know what went wrong with him, Dad.
Up until I was six, it was perfect. That's lovely, though. That's all you can do as a parent, is love them so hard that you break them when they die.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Do you think that you all think about death differently now you have children?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. A little bit, because I already thought about death a bit too much, being an early member of the club, it just sort of, unfortunately, I would say, compounded lots of anxieties. I already was like, oh, you could die at any moment. And now I was like, I could die at any moment and I'd be leaving a child. So that became slightly worse. Sorry, guys, to be honest with you. Yeah, that's what happened to me. But what about you guys? More cheery than that?
Yeah, well, in two ways. So I'm a depressive person, and I can get very, very dark of thought, and sort of to the extent that I'll have suicidal thoughts. And now when I get there, I think, oh, I can't do that though, I just fuck my son up too much. And then I can feel sort of frustrated
with your son.
I haven't got that exit. Which is, no, that's a really bleak thing
to
admit.
No, I don't think that's, but I think it's really interesting because that's also like, isn't that sort of such a wonderful thing about love? Of like, love is not, the love you and your son have is not so simple that it's like, oh, everything's joyous. It's like, now I have to live.
Yeah.
Isn't that, that's deeply profound.
And I think because my parents are both still alive, and up until the point my son was born, I thought like sort of either of them dying would be the most devastating thing that can happen.
Yeah.
And you know, it's still not something I really even allow myself to think about. But it has changed that fear a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Jose?
I think I mean, this is really dark, but I think much more about how terrified I am that she might die.
I think about that.
Like when she was so little. I used to just, well, she's certainly a year old now, but in the first sort of 3 months of her life, I would just wake up all the time and be like, okay, thank God.
Is she still breathing?
I just, it's like you say, you just can't really envision what that kind of dread is until they're there, and then you just... So I think much more about that, to the extent that they'd be like, oh, don't worry about old me. Don't worry about old me, it's about you. You know, it's more like that.
And then do you understand, like, why... Because I think it's quite a parental thing... To, like, you know, like my mum's like, oh, it's not about me. And then when you have one, you're like, oh, I get it. Slightly when you become the parent. And it's interesting, because, like, it's slightly off topic, but like 70% of women have, after a baby, have like mental health issues. And a lot of it is because they're worrying about the baby, something happening to the baby so much, and you're hormonal and crazy, like, and they don't sleep. Like, it's such a common, it's so common.
Yeah. And you look at the, I was trying to write something about how basically I got given a fact sheet that was like, are you suffering from postnatal depression? It was like, are you sleeping badly? Are you eating badly? Are you finding it hard to get outside? Has your body changed shape recently? And I was like, this is just breastfeeding.
I know.
This is breastfeeding. Yeah, it's the same thing.
They might as well just say, you've had a baby. That's that. Now we need to talk to you. You're probably not all right. Yeah, sorry, guys. What are we thinking, like after death? What do you think, Camille? Like, do you feel like... we're going into a lovely field full of dogs.
I'm really hoping for it.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm not particularly religious.
Okay.
But so. I feel like I'm one of those annoying people that I've not got my toe in anything.
Oh, yeah. Hedging your bets.
Yeah, which I know it's not good, is
it? I think it's all
right. Like someone that starts supporting a football team only when they're winning.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, I'm with that team.
But when you're on your deathbed, are you going to be one of those like, yeah, get the vicar in, why not?
Yeah, I think I probably would.
I think that's okay.
Probably would.
Whatever works.
We did for my nanny.
Did you?
He did the prayer, and then she went as soon as we finished doing the prayer with the vicar. It was so weird. Wow. And you know how sometimes when people are dying, you think they've taken a final breath, and then they take another one a bit later.
Yeah.
And we'd just been talking about how we all wanted to be there. We're working out like who's going to go home, maybe who's not.
Yeah.
And we were saying how we all wanted to be there, and. We were all there together. The vicar came, did the prayer. She, what we thought, died. And my mum was out of the room and came back in and was so distraught that she thought she'd gone when she was out of the room. And then my nanny just did one final, and then she was gone. So it felt, and I don't know what I believe, but things like that, it's nice to feel like it happened for a reason or that she knows something or that, you know, someone is helping that be and helping that happen in the nicest way possible.
But why not?
I'd love it if heaven exists.
Fingers
otherwise,
crossed.
I'd love it if reincarnation was a thing.
Oh, yeah? What are you coming back as?
Dog, horse,
dog or horse?
A faithful friend.
She was a respected animal.
But that would suggest that you'd have to be not that good a human, but not that bad either.
Yeah. You had your
what? Because if I was really good, do I get to come back as a human?
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, in that particular belief. Yeah.
But that's quite good, because that gives you license to be a dick.
Okay, I'll stick with my first choice.
A dog or a horse. You're there in heaven, they're like, Camille, which one? Quick. I don't mind. Give a horse.
Why are they rushing you?
Because they've got lots of people. It's a big queue,
it's
Jeff.
Eternity.
No, they got people to get through. Think about how many people die every day. They've got stuff to do. And then they're sending them all down for the babies. It's very busy.
Like that film.
Yeah, like that film. What is that film?
I don't know, but I have such a strong memory of it.
Jason, what are your thoughts of life after death?
Well, I have a really opposing experience to what happened to you, Camille, which is that My grandma, my mum's mum, I absolutely like, adored her and was very close to her, especially sort of... So she died when I was 24, and especially kind of the last 5 years of her life, I had a really lovely, close relationship with her, and used to visit her all the time, absolutely, you know, loved her to bits. And then my mum, me and my sister, she was very ill, and we knew that she was probably on the way to dying, and she was in this, I guess, like a hospice, and... We were all going down to see her, but we all felt like she probably had a couple of weeks left. Mm. But the three of us wanted to go together. But there's a lot of kind of shifting sands in my family of like, this person doesn't want to go with this person today, or this person's decided that person's done this. And I was sort of trying to work out who to go in the car with. And I lived in London and my mum lived in Orpington and my sister lived in Maidstone. So it was like, are we all going to meet at services in two cars and then I'll swap cars? It was almost nonsense. And I really remember that we got to the hospice and we stopped downstairs and we all got like a little juice box and a little like... Frusely.
Yeah.
And we're sort of there going, well, better go up and see her. I hope she's all right. You know, and we got there and they obviously, it had obviously just happened. They didn't realise the people coming up. So we went in, and she was there and she was dead.
Wow.
And we'd missed it. And she hadn't died, like, I don't think she died while we were there. Yeah, I don't think it was that sad or fated or anything. I think it had been that morning and they just weren't really aware and we didn't do the proper protocol at the hospice. We were just like, great, get the Frusleys, get upstairs, you know. And it was so... Well, firstly, it's the only time I've really seen a dead body and it was so confronting because you sort of really feel the lack of life in that person. But also it was just so sad and beyond our control. We were just like, oh, we're not saying goodbye. And, you know, the contrast between getting a Frusley and
that's
it, you know. And so I think, like, from that, I don't believe in an afterlife. I'm mostly reconciled to it because... On the whole, I sort of go, oh, I enjoy my life, or I have a lovely time. But when I think of things like that, it makes me incredibly sad. And I think it's going to get harder the older I get to see the world emptying of people that I really adore.
Yeah, and
of going, oh, well, they're gone now, you know. Yeah. And also even now, like I'm 37 and sometimes when I see people who are about 17, they really remind me of someone I used to know. Or someone I know, and then you're like, oh, no, that's not them, but, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, fuck, by the time I'm 90, I'm just going to feel like everyone is an archetype. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're a Karen, you're a Sue, you know. Yeah. But it'll be even worse because it'll be like, oh, it's Karen, Karen's dead. You know, like, everyone, you know.
And that's why old people are grumpy, I think. Yeah. That's what, as you get older, you're like, oh, fair play.
And even more thinking about it generationally.
You
know where you go like, wow, there's only like, one guy left who was involved in the First World War, you know, and it just the fact that suddenly it's like, right, that whole lot, all those guys are off.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of feels sad. But then at the same time, I think it's quite, I find it quite useful and healthy just to be like, this is all fine, I have no control over this, and actually it doesn't really matter, and actually I won't be here, so it's sort of quite helpful just to like...
I think it's good to think about it and have it and have the sad thought and then, like you said, sort of hopefully come through it and be like, that's what we're here for, is that process. But then the being there, not being there, just to say it is so interesting. I can't tell you how many times people either say, I can't believe we weren't in the room, or they waited till we were all in the room. And I, having spoken to Catherine Mannix, who, if you're a grief fan, is this amazing palliative care woman who wrote this book with the end in mind, and she was like, some people want you to be there, some people don't.
Wow.
Yeah, and I found that really interesting. And she was like, it's not about...
Which is like birth, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly.
Some people really want to go in the hospital and be like, everyone come close, give me an epidural. And some people are like a cat. They're like, get me in the airing cupboard.
Yeah, and I've heard...
Do you know what I mean? Like...
Is that what's going to happen to your death? She's gone to the airing cupboard.
I've got the airing cupboard. That's a lovely euphemism.
She's in the airing cupboard. But I've spoken to so many people, and I feel like this should be talked about more, because I've so many people who are so sad, and they'll say to me, I just went for a cup of tea, I just went to make a phone call, and I'd been there for like 3 weeks at a bedside vigil, and I now, at first I was like, oh, that's sad. Now I'm like, no, too many people, that person didn't want you there. That person was like, waited, that... They didn't want you to see it. Or like you said, opposite, sometimes they wait till everyone's around them and then they're like, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I just think, and Catherine Mannix was saying, she was like, you can't say you're in control of it, but she's like, having watched so many people die, it does feel like there seems to be some holding on or not holding on. Mm. So, yeah, I thought that was very interesting. We are just running out of time, which... Jeff, what do you think? Life after death?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
No, great.
Just,
yeah. It's not for me.
Not for me.
Thank you so much. This has just been so wonderful to have an audience and to have this opportunity to talk about death. Please give a massive round of applause to an amazing guest you've seen tonight, Jeff Lloyd, Josie Long, Camille Youcan. thank you so much. No, we just have to awkwardly shuffle off. No, you don't have to clap it all, no. It will be, take too long. Oh, I'm going to be quiet a while.
Thank you for listening. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff Lloyd. That's G-E-O-F-F Lloyd. I get my G's and my J's mixed up. And listen to his brilliant podcast, Reasons to be Cheerful and Adrift. You can follow Josie Long on Twitter at Josie Long. And obviously look out for where she's gigging, where she's doing her new show that she just did in Edinburgh that did really, really well in Edinburgh. So definitely go and see that. And she's just been on Celebrity MasterChef. And you can follow Camille Youcan. That's C-A-M-I-L-L-E-U-C-A-N. On Twitter at Camille Youcan. She's on Instagram as well, and she's doing lots of things, so just have a look at her website or her Twitter as well and you will find out lots of good things. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Griefcast. The show was edited by Kate Holland with thanks to Whistledown Studios. The music was provided by The Glue Ensemble. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are not alone.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.